I want you to take your Bibles today, and we are going to turn to the very familiar Christmas story, Luke chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 20 there, Luke chapter 2, 1 through 20. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. Joseph also went from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, and was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in a swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, and you will find a baby wrapped in the swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. When they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Congregation of Christ, at this time of the year, I imagine a lot of you have been receiving Christmas cards in your home, and many of you perhaps have sent lots of those cards and messages out to other people as well, family members and friends. And they come from all over the place, many parts of the country sometimes. And it's interesting to see people's response to what their year has been like and to hear a little bit more about their lives. We're going to look at three Christmas messages that were given. And if you want to look at this as being three different Christmas cards that came, we're going to see that there are three of them that are happening here in the passage of Scripture that we just read. The first Christmas card or Christmas message that we receive is one that came from the city of Rome. And we see here that this card came to all of the citizens of the people in the Roman Empire. And they had to go to their respective homes, wherever they were, where they had grown up. And it was time for a census to be taken. Now, Caesar Augustus was just following here a normal procedure. This was not anything out of the ordinary. It says here, of course, that he was the emperor and Quirinius was the governor of Syria. So it kind of places this whole story in a certain context from a time standpoint. But what is interesting about this is that every 14 years they had a registration, or what we would often refer to as a census. People had to register with the government to acknowledge where they were living and how many people were in their family, and a good portion of this information that they were giving out at this time was related to taxes. The Roman government, of course, wanted to make sure that they were receiving the money that they needed to carry on the government, and so they had this kind of a tax program. I believe that census in the U.S. have been every 10 years or so. And in this time, though, in history, the census came every 14 years. Anyway, the message goes out by Caesar Augustus saying everybody has to go back to the hometown where they were born and be registered. Well, this is rather interesting because even though it seems like all the emphasis here is upon Caesar, that he is the one who's in control, he's the one who's sending out the message, he's the one who's giving the orders and the instructions, yet we know that behind this whole episode, it's really God who is in control. God is always careful to do the things that he says he will do. And God had promised many, many, many years ago through the prophet known as Micah that the time would come when the Messiah of Israel would be born in the little town of Bethlehem. And God had declared this to this prophet, and now we are about to see this happening just the way that God had said. There's a very interesting line of scripture found in the prophecy of Jeremiah. And I want to just read this to you. It says, "Then the Lord said to me," to Jeremiah, "you have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it." Think about that once. That's a powerful statement. God has given us his word, including the message that it contains, even announcing the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes at Christmas time we see that too. Families are sending the Christmas cards to the mail, and what's one of the announcements that come? Well, announcement that there's a new baby in the family, or maybe a new grandchild has been born, or whatever. But you see, God had promised, in connection with this event, in connection with this particular time in history, when Caesar was the emperor and when all of the things were together, when the fullness of time had come in the plan of God, God now is going to bring into realization the promise that was made through Micah. And isn't it interesting? We have the Word of God, and we think that how great this is that God has given us his Word. And that is great, but you know what? God not only gives us his word, but God is watching over his word to make sure that it always comes to pass. Listen to that scripture there once again from Jeremiah as God speaks this to the prophet. "You have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it." Did you know that whatever God promises to you is going to happen? I say that in many sermons because I want to remind people in this time in history when many have turned away from the Bible and many tell us that the Bible is not accurate or is something that is full of errors or anything else, I keep reminding you that the Word of God is never wrong. And now you know why, because Jeremiah was told by God himself, "I am watching over my Word to fulfill it. I'm going to perfect it. I'm going to make it happen just the way that I have said." Think about what that means, even in terms of your salvation. Sometimes people lose loved ones, and these are folks that in many cases are those who know the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet after they've died and they've passed on from us, and we start thinking to ourselves, you know, how do I know what really happened here? How do I know what is the future of these people? How do I know that I'll ever see them again? How do I know any of these things are true? Well, the answer is because God has said so. The Bible says that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, if God said it, God will perfect that. If you've called upon the Lord, if you've received Jesus as your personal Savior, you know him in a personal way, and you will be with him someday in heaven. God's word is always true. And you know what? That's true regarding all of your loved ones who knew the Lord also, even those that have passed on from this world. There's a better world out there that they have entered into, and it's all being planned by God. Just like God had the whole Christmas event all planned, God has the whole plan of salvation completely planned, and his word has declared it, and it's going to happen just the way that he said. He will perfect his word. So, the first message that came out at Christmas time though it looked like it was really coming from Rome, it was actually God working this whole thing out through the sovereign power that is his. Caesar might have been the emperor, but God himself is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and Caesar does nothing without it being the program and the plan of God. Well, as you know what happened, the little child was born in Bethlehem. And that brings us really to the story of the second message that came on that Christmas. If the first Christmas card came from Rome, the second one came directly from heaven. Now that's amazing. We get cards from many different places, and we get cards from some interesting people that have been in our life at various times. And yet, is it not significant to notice that here now, this second message that comes is one that comes directly from God himself, and it is declared in the heavens by angel messenger. Now, you can't hardly get a more amazing delivery of any message than that. It comes directly from God. And, of course, you can just picture the situation. Here are these shepherds. They're out in the field keeping watch at night. And this was not something that was a very prestigious or honorable job. Shepherds were despised in this culture. They were looked down upon as being low-class citizens and people that were not to be trusted. They didn't even allow shepherds to testify in a court of law because they were believed to be people that were not always truthful. Sometimes there was a little confusion in the shepherd's business between the sheep, which one was mine and which one belonged to thine, you know, which was mine and which was thine. People had problems with theft and criminal activity back then, even as they do today. But you know, the message that God sent from heaven was nothing short of astounding. How did it happen? Well, it happened, first of all, by one angel. Okay? One angel came first of all. Now, by the end of the section here, we'll see that there's a whole lot more than one. But the first part of the message came from one special angel who declared three amazing things. That a child who had been born in Bethlehem was a child who was none other than the Savior, who was the Lord, and who was the Christ, the Messiah, the christened one, the anointed one who was promised. What an amazing thing. What an amazing message. Think about that once. God had promised way back in the Garden of Eden that one day he was going to send a Savior. A Savior who would come, who would crush Satan and defeat him. And the years had passed, not just years, but centuries had passed. And no doubt anybody who knew of that message back from the Garden of Eden must have thought, I wonder if God is ever going to fulfill that. Well, we know the answer to that. God is always perfecting his word. He is watching over his word to make sure that it happens. And now the time had come. The promised Savior had arrived into the world. And aren't you glad? Because if that Savior had not been born, there is no one of us that would have any hope for ourselves or for our loved ones. But because of the fact that there is a Savior and that God keeps his word and God sent his son into the world, born of a woman just like he said he would, and that one who came was not just any ordinary human being, but he is the Savior of the world. Because of that fact, we have one of the greatest messages that ever could be given. God had provided a way whereby your sins and my sins can be forgiven. Where we can be not only able to live beyond death, but we can live in heavenly places where he himself is. And we can live there not just for 20 years or 30 years or 50 years, but we can live there forever. What an amazing idea. God says, I have planned it, and it's now happening. The Savior that has been waiting to come to the world is now here, and he has been born not that far away in the little town of Bethlehem. Of course, what was even more incredible was the fact that this Savior is not just a Savior, but he is God himself. We talked about that last Sunday, didn't we? That Jesus Christ is God and man come. And it had to be that way. If Jesus Christ were not God, he never could have provided that salvation. He never could have endured the wrath of God that was poured out because of mankind's sin. What human being could have endured such a situation as that? But Jesus Christ, being God, could endure God's wrath. And he came as the very Son of God, as God himself, second person in the Holy Trinity, the Lord of heaven and earth, was born. It's amazing to see this in a world today. A lot of people question so many different things about the Bible. You know, was the creation really true? Did it happen the way the Bible said and all of that? Listen, God not only did everything the way he said he would, but God also has even brought the one who did the creating right down here to the earth. The Bible didn't just tell us that God the Father was involved in creation or the Holy Spirit was involved in creation. We know the Spirit moved over the waters in Genesis. But Jesus himself is said in the book of Colossians to be the one who is also the creator. John also tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with him. All things were made by him. And there was nothing in this world that has ever been made that was not made by Jesus Christ. He was part of that whole process. Now, in this place, out in the wilderness, so to speak, in nearby Judea, there suddenly the Creator of the heavens and the earth breaks down through into history, and there he is. God himself has come. You know, people get excited about big events. Oh, we're going to have a big family party, and we've got to get ready. We think everybody's going to be there, or most of the people are going to be there, and people get all excited about things like this. We have all kinds of big events like this that are always happening. People are getting ready for Christmas parades, and they're getting ready for inaugurations, and they're getting ready for all sorts of things. Things that, from a human standpoint, seem very important. But listen, none of that stuff compares to what God was doing here. God himself was breaking through into history. And here was the announcement. The Savior had been born. The Lord of heaven and earth had also come. And then too, of course, don't forget the fact that the Christ is also said to have arrived. All of these things are in the one person, Jesus Christ. He is Savior. He is Lord. He is Christ. The word Christ, of course, just means anointed. We hear people talk about someone being christened, and that is an anointing that takes place. You know, when people were put in various positions in Bible times, they experienced a certain anointing that happened before they took their respective roles. Prophets, priests, and kings were all anointed in Bible times. God put his mark upon them. Even Jesus Christ was anointed through his receiving of the Holy Spirit and receiving his baptism and so forth, announcing the fact that he is the one that God intends to bring as the Savior and the King and the Lord. And now the word comes. Israel's been waiting for so many years. They've been looking at this situation where they're being controlled by the Romans, and they have everybody else telling them what to do and how much to pay for their taxes and all of this stuff, things that they hated, things that were a major concern to them. They put up with all sorts of abuse. And now the long-awaited Messiah was about to come. In fact, as he had been born now that night in the little town of Bethlehem. And so you see that all of this is God bringing these things together. Now, that would have been amazing enough in itself, one angel showing up with a message like that. But now the Bible says suddenly there was what? A multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest. And on earth peace, goodwill toward men in whom his favor rests." Think about that. One angel suddenly is accompanied by multitudes of them, all over the heavens. And they're all praising God. You know, we were having a service this morning at Director's Hall. And while I was doing that, there was a good crowd of people there this morning. I think people were very happy to know that we were going to have a Christmas Day service on Christmas Day right there at Director's Hall. And you know, while we were doing this, we were singing all these great Christmas carols and everything, just like we've been doing here lately. And I remembered the fact about the angels praising God together. And I said, you know what? There's something that happened on that first Christmas that we are also doing right now today. The people kind of looked, wondering what that was. And I said, on the first Christmas Day, angels were singing praise to God and glorifying Him. I said, the same thing that we have been doing right here in this building. I said, we were doing the same thing that the angels did on the first Christmas. We were singing praise to God and acknowledging the birth of a Savior, the birth of the King. And I think you could see that somehow the idea of doing the very thing that had happened on the very first Christmas kind of registered in their minds. They seemed to be somewhat excited about that fact, that they were able to praise God even as angels have. Well, you know what? That is, in fact, something that is going to be very true for us always. The day will come, of course, when we will be in heavenly places with the Lord, and when that happens, we are going to also honor Him and glorify Him and praise Him. And there's no sense that we have to just wait for that to happen. We can do that even now. We don't even have to wait till Christmas. Sometimes people come to church, you know, and they sing the different songs that are announced. And, you know, sometimes those are songs we've heard all of our life, and we just kind of go through the motion. We go through the words, and sometimes we don't even think about what we're saying. But think about that, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest." What an amazing thing to hear angels do that and know that we can share in that same activity that angels themselves are also involved with. Well, the message came. It came from heaven. And of course, if it came from God, which we know it did, then we would expect that whatever the message was, that it would be true, because God always perfects His word. So what happened? The shepherds went down to Bethlehem, rather, city near Jerusalem, about 6 miles or apart from the two. And anyway, they went down there and they found everything that God had declared. It was just what God had said. God always, always, always keeps His word. And it had happened again. When they got there, they found this child wrapped up in cloths, lying in a manger. You say, you know, isn't that a tragedy that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who created the whole heavens and the whole earth, now when He comes into the world, has to spend His first day on earth living in a manger? I mean, that we look at that and we say, oh, boy, what an astounding thing. But you know, it's even more astounding than that, because when you think about the story of Jesus and His life, His birth, we find Him in a manger. His death, we find Him hanging from a cross. And in the meantime, between those two events, we find that the Scripture says that while He was living here in this world, He had no place in which to lay His head. You know, we all have places that we call our own. They might not even belong to us. Some people live in homes that are not theirs. We're in that situation ourselves. Some of you have homes that you own. And, of course, some people live in apartment houses. And even if they don't own them, they still look at that as their dwelling place. It's the place where they live. They have a regular place. You have a home or some other home that you regularly live at, and apartments or whatever. We just take that for granted. And yet, we know that Jesus had no one place that he could really call his own. He had a home in the sense that he was born in the little town of Bethlehem, but throughout the days of his life, he had no place that he could call his own, no place where he could lay his head and say, "This is mine." Now, he stayed at some friend's house once in a while. We know about his visitation to Mary and Martha and all the other things in Scripture, but you think about that. Jesus Christ lived in this world in a very humble set of circumstances. The world says that somebody's really important if they, you know, they have many incredible things about them, if they're wealthy or if they are very prestigious or have a great deal of honor or recognition by human beings. But you know what? Jesus came into this world in total humility. And he did all of this just because he wanted to be the Savior of the world. He was willing. For the joy that was set before him, he endured all of these things, even the cross. He despised the shame that was connected with his entire life. And he did it all just so that you and I could have salvation if we call upon him through faith. It's an amazing, amazing gift that God gave. And you know what? This announcement then, this third and final card, is one that didn't come from Rome. It didn't come from heaven, but it came from Bethlehem. It came from the shepherds themselves. Because when they got down to that place where they were told the Christ child was, by the way, the angels never told them to go there. The angels just told them that it had happened. I believe that the angels very much assumed that as soon as the shepherds found out about this, that they would go down there, and they did. But there's no place in the scripture text here that says that they were commanded to go down there. They wanted to go down there. They wanted to see the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They wanted to see the Messiah that had been born. But you know what? The third and final message was the one that they themselves brought to other people as they went back to do their job all over again. You know, it's time, it's wonderful when God's people can be together and have amazing spiritual experiences. Sometimes that might happen at a church service. Sometimes it may happen at a special group meeting where you go to, and maybe there's a series of classes or sessions or whatever that people can go to, and you walk away from that and you say, "Oh, that was such a high experience for me spiritually to have been through that." But you know, there's always more to life. Life goes on. We can't always spend every moment in these high mountaintop experiences. Sometimes we have to get back to work, and we have to get back to doing what? The one thing that now all of us have been instructed to do, and that is to go into all the world and to declare the word of God to every person, to make disciples of every nation, to tell the good news. And you know, the first ones who did that were the shepherds. They went back to their work, but they also went back and they told everybody about the things that they had seen and heard. I want you to think about that for just a moment, how difficult that must have been. Remember that shepherds were not always trusted. Their word of testimony was not even allowed in a court. And now God used those very people whose testimonies were often suspect. God used those people to go and tell the good news that the Savior of the world had been born. That's amazing, isn't it? I was thinking about that this morning. You know, just think, if I came here this morning and I got up here in front of you and say, "You'll never guess what happened, but I was on the way home from Director's Hall today, riding in my car, and I was stopped by an angel. And an angel talked to me and told me certain things that the angel wanted me to know." If I got up here and said that, you'd all be looking at me and thinking, "I don't believe that one for anything. You talked with an angel, an angel talked to you? I don't know, that sounds highly suspicious to me." And then, if I went on and I told you, and not only did I see one, but then all over the area where I, you know, was riding, there was a whole group of them. They declared glory and honor to God. If somebody came into church here this morning and said that, even though you are all good Bible-believing people and you love the Word of God and all of that, yet you might listen to that and say, boy, I don't know. This doesn't sound right to me. But that's the job that the shepherds had. They had to go back to people and tell them that the Messiah had been born. People might say, well, how in the world do you know this? I mean, have you heard anything to that effect from any of the Jewish leaders? None of them have gone around and told us that the Messiah has been born. Now you come along and tell us that this Savior has come? We don't believe it. And you said you saw angels. Come on, who do you take us to be anyway? But you know what? It didn't stop them. When you know the truth, you're not ashamed to tell it. And you and I as Christians, we know the truth. We have God's Word, which is the truth. And we should never be afraid to tell the Word of God for the truth that it really is. One of the reasons why I emphasize again and again that the Word of God will never fail us is because of the fact that God wants us to declare that Word to all the world. We have a responsibility to do that, to make everybody know the message. That's exactly what they did. They went out and they told the Word of God to everyone. They told them all that they had seen and all that they had heard. That was the whole thing, angels and everything. They told this just the way they had heard it. And you know what? I think one of the most beautiful things in the Bible is that Jesus Christ, when he became the great pastor of his people and went out and declared the Word of God as the messenger from God that he is, when he went out, he said, I am the good shepherd, and I've come to give my life a ransom for many. I am the good shepherd. I've come to shepherd the sheep, to care for the flock, to care for my people, to make known the truth about salvation and what it really is. Jesus Christ did not hesitate to be identified with these shepherds and even linked himself up with them as a shepherd and declared that the message that they had brought was the same one that he was bringing. He is the Savior. He is the King. He is the Messiah. You know what? That's what he wants us to do as well. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. And the shepherds back in Bible times at first Christmas also were doing the right thing. But God wants us to keep on doing that. How long are we to keep doing that? Until the end of this present age is finished. When this age is over, then the great work of evangelism and of missionary activity and of testifying to the truth of Christ and of his salvation, then when the age has run its course, that day will finally come to an end. Oh, we'll praise God in heaven, all right, just like the shepherds did. But our great work of telling others, that will be finished when the day comes that this age is finished. But you know what? Until that day, it never stops. It never ends. When our generation is over with and the next generation comes along to take our place, they have the same responsibility to keep on declaring that same message again and again and again to the whole world, to tell the story of what God has declared in his Word, to make it known that God has broken through into history and has brought salvation. Remarkable testimonies. One that came from Rome, one that came from heaven, and one that came from Bethlehem and from a stable. And yet in all of them, what do we see? I think the Apostle Paul summarized this whole thing when he wrote an epistle to Titus many years ago. And this is how he basically summarized everything that was happening in Luke 2. He said to Titus, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Christ, the Savior, has come. He has come. And he's still doing the great work of bringing people to himself and taking them home to heaven when this time here on earth is over with. He's continuing to do these things, and he will continue to do them. Why? Because the grace of God has appeared to all men. The Savior has come. And that Savior is Christ the Lord. Let's pray to God now. Lord, in this Christmas time and all of the activities and all of the events and all of the fun times and the family times and the times with friends and all the things that are so wonderful about this season, yet, Lord, help us to not forget that the Son of God has broken forth into this world, that the Savior of the world has come, that the grace of God has appeared and is still working even yet today. Thank you, Jesus, for that great salvation, for that great plan, for that great commitment on your part to bring it all to pass. Now bless us throughout this day. Keep us safe wherever we go. Help us to enjoy the day to the best of our ability. Help us to rejoice in Jesus Christ, the God of our salvation. We pray it now in his name. Amen.